Hello and welcome to Radically Distinct Radio. I'm Jen Morgan, and today I have serial entrepreneur, founder, and CEO of the Crave Company, Melody Berenger, here, and we're going to talk about friendships as an adult, recovering workaholics, and lessons learned in business.
Woohoo.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
Awesome. I love your green nails, by the way.
Thank you. I feel a little bit like a leprechaun.
Oh, it's good.
It's a good thing. Well, so I'm really interested in the Crave Company, the name, the brand, how you come up with it.
Wow. Well, let's see. How did I come up with that? I wanted to have an event and bring women together and put everything under one roof that we crave. Okay, this is stuff I made up that I crave, and then I hope that everybody else craved this too. So I had the first Crave party I had, I put women in their pajamas in a swanky environment. I had pink drinks and goodie bags and spa services and shopping and a fashion show and just like a good old girls' night out, all the things that we craved. So that's how I came up with the name. And I came up with the Crave Party because I didn't have very many girlfriends. And I wanted more. I just wanted some like-minded individuals in my life because I was being a workaholic.
Oh, okay.
So, does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes sense. I think, so you have a history, just like I said, you're a serial entrepreneur. I think I counted 6 businesses. Is that right?
Oh, no, it's 20.
20.
Where'd you get 6?
Well, I mean, I was taking notes as fast as I could when we talked before. And I was like, I counted 6. I'm sure there's more.
Yeah, but it's like I've attempted 20 ideas, businesses, concepts in the last 30 years.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to know, like, what is the difference between all the other businesses you've done before and launching the Crave Company?
Oh, major difference. I actually launched the Crave Company because it was everything I wanted to do and everything I loved versus my other businesses were more about maybe making a buck, thinking I was at the right place at the right time and I should do this instead of asking if I really want to do this and my non-negotiables and what I want to be doing. My past, and I still do this. I'm still in the food business, but I grew up on a strawberry farm and I've been in the food business my whole entire life. And so, you know, it just seemed like a natural to be in the food business. And I do love that. And we're getting ready to do bumper shoot this weekend selling strawberry shortcake. So I'm still doing that.
I still want to go and have one of those.
Yeah, you got to have one.
I do.
But when the Crave Company, when I invented the Crave Company, it was all about my need for girlfriends and just kind of doing what I wanted to do. And I felt like my Berenger business, the strawberry business that I had for many years, over 15 years, I had up to 70 employees, and I found that I was being a workaholic, and I don't like managing people. In fact, I hate managing people. And then I had 70 of them. And it was like I had to spend all my time managing people. So I thought, how can I do something the opposite? I wanted to flip it. And I wrote down on a piece of paper, how can I do everything the opposite? So on the left-hand side, it was like, I don't really want employees. I don't really want overhead. I don't want to sign a lease and be, you know, nailed down to just being here 24/7. I don't want to have a business that a rat runs through my business because I used to have that in the Pike Place Market. All these things that I didn't want anymore. And on the right-hand side, I wrote, I want to do business on a laptop in Amsterdam. What does that look like? So I designed the Crave Company around what I wanted and a lifestyle that I wanted because I finally woke up and said, I don't have to do everything I don't like doing. I can spend all my time doing what I'm talented at and what I'm good at and what I love. And so that was the Crave part. That's how that was born.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. Do you find, so you work with a lot of women. Is women mostly who comes to the Crave events?
Yes.
And do you?
All women. I feel like I'm around women a little bit overkill. Every once in a while, I have to go talk to some dudes. I'm like, okay. Yes, all women.
And do you find that women have a similar story as you?
Well, I find that in the beginning, when I first started Crave, and it was about my need for girlfriends, I started asking, and people were like, yeah. I felt like we all give it lip service, and we say, let's get together. But unless you set the time, date, and place and actually do it, and how often do we actually do that? You know how hard it is to get on the calendar with people?
Yeah.
And so it's I feel like friendships are like a marriage. You actually have to really work at it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I felt like a lot of people really wanted more friends. That very first Crave party I had, a lot of moms came new with young children. Well, they didn't come with their young children. That's about the age group they were.
Yeah.
And they turned into like teenagers that night, like going, wow, I don't have the husband and the kids, and I'm so excited to be here and just to have that time and just to be with girlfriends. It was such a craving for everybody. So yes, I feel like it was pretty universal.
Yeah.
I think it still is too.
Women specifically, but adults have a hard time making friends.
Yeah. Well, adults, yeah, making friends is so hard. I recently, well, in the last 3 years, I started an event called Urban Campfire. And what it is I had a little bit of a nervous breakdown after, I don't know how many years I had Crave, but it was in 2012 is when I had it. I found out my business model wasn't working. I thought I was on top of the world. I was on top of the world. I just wrote my book, Craving Success, about my 20 businesses. I was out telling everybody my aha moments, just feeling really good. Like, I could die tomorrow. I'm good. You know, it's the first time in my life I could say that. And then I got a couple of phone calls when I was over in Amsterdam, because I started Crave Amsterdam. That was my big dream. And that kind of knocked me down, like, oh, your business isn't really working well. And
the phone calls were like devastating phone calls.
They were devastating phone calls. Like, one was from my printer saying, you owe me $60,000. What happened?
Oh, my gosh.
Another one was like, somebody's ripping off your brand and taking all the money in one of your cities. And I just wasn't ready. I thought everything was going good, so I wasn't ready for that. So I went down for about a year. Yeah. Anyway, we won't talk about that right now. But when I came back up, I started talking publicly about what happened, and people started thanking me for telling everybody that, you know, I don't have it all together. So I realized that I wanted to start an event. So I called it Urban Campfire because I love to mash up things. And I had like a TED Talk style event where I had about 12 thought leaders come and tell their real stories, what was really going on in their life instead of what we know them for. And then I had a dance party and a s'more fest, you know, lighten it up a little bit. And what I found in the last 3 years of doing that is women don't have the friends that they really want. And kind of, you know, several years, you know, 15 years after starting Crave, when my need was to get girlfriends, 15 years later, it was like, what do I want now? What do women want now? And it was like more meaningful relationships. Those friends that are, you know, that know a lot about you, not just the surface friends that we see at events and maybe we go to coffee with once in a lifetime or once a year. Not, you know, those are great friends to have, but real meaningful friends. And it's hard to make those.
Yeah.
Like, I actually didn't grow up with sisters. I didn't have, I didn't go to college. I started a furniture store when I was 18. That was my college. And I had to learn how to make friends. And it's one at a time. One at a time, really, to go really deep. And it doesn't happen just in one coffee meeting.
Yeah.
It takes years. And I just think people don't really know how to do that. So I wanted to create a business to create safe environments for women to get to know each other, and hopefully some friendships will be made out of it. Because I don't want people.
And they have, they have been made. I mean, I went to one of your co-storming events,
yeah.
And I have one of my friends now. She's a ballerina, a soloist over at the Pacific Northwest Ballet.
Yeah, Maggie.
She's awesome.
She is. Yes, I'm so happy you met her and became friends.
Yeah, we've gone to a couple networking events together. So tell me, do you have some advice for women? Because I think that, you know, obviously women struggle with doing so much, you know, doing so much, not having enough time for ourselves, period. But then all of a sudden you look around one day and you're like, where are my friends?
I know.
Who cares about me? So do you have advice for us?
It's challenging, especially if you're an introvert. Like, introverts, you know, like, don't want to go get out of the house and go meet people. My advice is just to really, you know, go out for a coffee date or go for a walk. I go for lots of walks with people. I think walking and talking is just really fun. It's one of my favorite craves in life. So, I think that energy is moving more when you're walking versus just like sitting there having a drink with somebody. So, yeah, just really kind of going deep and asking questions and being curious. Mm-hmm. I wished everybody was a lot more curious about each other, and that's just to show interest in other people and ask questions about them. Really, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
It's like if somebody asks you questions, you're like, wow, somebody cares about me. And then you find out, like, if you have stuff in common and you want to hang out more.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, like, dating. Like, you're, like, pursue it like dating.
Yeah, I'm not. I've been with my husband for 28 years, so I'm a little bit out of that market, so I'm not sure. But, yeah, well, you could shed some light on that. Is that what it's like?
Yes, it is what it's like. You basically, you know, you maybe go on, like, if it's good, it lasts past, you know, a 20-minute coffee.
Right.
And people have all different styles. Maybe some people start with a phone.
Right.
Phone meeting, which is okay, you know, but you don't really get to see if you're interested in the person. And then, you know, you go out to dinner. If it goes really well, you're there for 3 hours and people are like looking mm-hmm. at you like you should leave. And you're like, well, we don't know where we would go. So we're just sitting here. If it doesn't go so well, you're hurrying up and you're like, why did I say dinner? Oh my gosh, I should have done coffee.
Yeah, I don't know. With social media the way it is right now, I've met a lot of people on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook where you become friends on social media first.
Okay.
Because you can see what you have in common. You're kind of running the same circles in the social world. And then maybe you go to a conference and everybody's there that you've been talking to on Twitter. And you're like, wow, we're finally meeting in person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you take it to a more in-person level. So that's one way I see a lot happening lately.
And you invented a game too, right?
I did.
Tell me about the game.
I call it the Urban Campfire game right now, but I'm going to change it to something about Crave. I just made up like 100 questions and put them on little like cards, a little card game. And I love to bring it everywhere with me. I had a girlfriend spend the night last week. And I go, let's play my game. let's get some tea and chocolate and sit on the couch with our pajamas and just answer these questions. And we just pulled them out randomly and just answered the questions. And they're like questions like, what do you have in common or not in common with your mother? Or what was your highlight of last week?
Okay.
Or how many hours a day do you sleep? You know, it's just kind of random questions, but it makes you go deeper. It makes you tell a story. Tell us about a time when you had the best birthday party that you threw for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or where's a place in the world that you've gone that you want to go back? All those kinds of questions really kind of make you tell a story. And then the other person remembers the story. And then you just have this great time versus
small talk.
Yeah, the small talk. Exactly. Thank you.
I work with a lot of people on, like, how do you network better? And yeah. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, what is small talk? I hate small talk.
I hate it
so much,
yeah.
You know?
Well, even when you go out with, like, a group of 6 or 7 people, there's always those 2 or 3 people that kind of dominate the whole conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the introverts actually don't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like that's fair. And everybody should be curious about everybody.
Yeah.
And then the most amazing things happen. If I'm obsessed with Amsterdam, and so in my events, if somebody tells me they've been there or they have some tip for me there, I'm all about, like, we're going to coffee tomorrow because I'm picking your brain. So that's like a little obscure thing mm-hmm. about me that most other people don't have, but everybody's got that. It's like, it's how to find that for each other.
Mm. So why don't you, I would love to just get a quick rundown on your 20 businesses. You don't have to maybe go through all of them, but just like a few of them, because I want like listeners to have an idea for the creativity of you.
So when I was 18, in my starter marriage, he was a woodworker, so we opened up a store called Wicker and Wood Corner, and I got into the furniture business, and I wanted to be into interior design, so that made a lot of sense at the time. And I've had a fitness studio, because I've been obsessed with fitness and health my whole life, and being around the food business has been challenging. So having a little bit of a weight problem, up 10, down 10, up 50, down 50, up 10, down 10, like my whole life.
Okay.
I decided I wrote a book with a nutritionist once, and so we went on one of our businesses with, I felt like we went on a dog and pony show. She was a scientist, and I was the average person that went on her diet. And she gave me here's what you're supposed to eat. And I had no idea, because I don't even cook, how to do it. So I actually made a logbook. It was back in the day when Kinko's was really popular. I went to Kinko's and I made one prototype and I brought it to her. And she's like, we should publish this. And now I'm like, ah, published authors asking me to publish something. We called it the Power Eating and Fitness Logbook. This is before apps. Now I'm dating myself, where you write down everything you eat. And so then we took that on the road. And then one thing led to another. Now I'm opening up a fitness studio around my logbook and to help people be accountable with their weight. And that was a mistake. I signed a 5-year lease, and then I started sitting down with people to talk about their fitness and health. And people would give me the craziest excuses why they're not working out. Like, I don't have anything to wear. I'm like, do I need to go shopping with you? I mean, like, all of a sudden I had no patience and realized that my personality was not, I like to talk about this to my friends, but now I have all these strangers telling me about why they're not. And then I found people love to do fitness and health like during the week, and then like to do anything they want on the weekends. And so it's like people talk a big talk. I just had no patience to keep them on track. And so that led into starting the Crave Company. I had my Behringer strawberry business at the time. We were making jams and syrups and sauces, and that's where I had the 70 employees. I'm like, I'm going to put something different in these jars. I'm going to put lotions and potions. I already know how to do it. I got a factory. I've got people. I've got jars and labels. I know how to do this. And so I made bath salts and lotions. I'm like, I could get like $30 for a jar of something versus food. You can only get like $5 to $10. And then I thought, what am I doing after I did it? I am just recreating the same business that I kind of want to get out of. But what I was doing at the time, I called it Immerse. And I started home spa parties where I talked women into hosting a party at their house, and we would come in with all my lotions and potions and bring in their, you know, like technicians, like massage therapists and facialist people and nail people, and have this fun girls' night out spa party with our products. And it was going so slow. I just didn't have any patience. These women were like, I'll have a party, and then they don't book it for 3 months. It's just going too slow. It was going okay, but just very slow. And then I was getting upset about making the products and like, what am I doing? I'm just doing the same thing. So that's when I decided I'm just going to throw a party myself. I'm going to call it a Crave Party and go for it. And then it sold out in like 2 weeks.
And was that the one where the one where they're dressed in
pajamas?
Mm-hmm. That was it. 2 weeks you sold out. And what was sold out? How many?
Well, it was like you can only hold 100 people. So then I did this stupid thing and I said, let's do 3 nights in a row, because I didn't want to turn down any business.
Yeah.
The orders are rolling in. I'm like, okay, we'll do it the next night and the next night. And I'd never even done it before. And so it was an insane 3 days. Didn't do that again. But it did launch. It launched this incredible, it changed my life. And I was like, whoa.
And you got in the media, like a lot of media, right?
Yeah. Lucky media reads media. I found out, like, Lucky Magazine came and wrote like 1 inch in their magazine, and I had no idea that this at the time the PI, Seattle PI, read Lucky Magazine, and then they wrote a whole article on me, and then the Puget Sound Business Journal read that and did a whole article, and then Entrepreneur Magazine reads business journals. They read that article, and pretty soon I was in the Wall Street Journal, and then I was in the New York Times. Wow. All within 4 months.
Wow. So that fit your desire to go quicker.
I wished I could have that now today, please. If anybody knows anybody at the New York Times, I really want that again. I was so not ready, because I was only in Seattle, and I love to scale businesses. So I started going to Portland and Vancouver, BC, because I can drive there in 3 hours. And I did one in San Francisco. I just called up some friends that I knew that lived in different cities. I go, try this Crave Party with me. I want to see if it works in other cities. But when I got in the New York Times, people wanted to take it to their city from everywhere, and I just was not ready. Mm. I ended up licensing it to like 15 different people in 15 cities. It was awesome for a little while. And then they all failed. Because I wasn't ready. So, big lesson learned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you do differently today?
I would make sure I prototype the business a little longer to get all the kinks out and make sure it's an easy business. That business was so hard. It was like putting on a wedding and giving everybody a manicure and pedicure. So wedding planners were really good at it because their attention to detail. But what they're not as good at is marketing, and so you actually have to sell the people. The people, not it's not like a wedding where everybody just comes because you invite them. It's now you have to sell 200 tickets to the event on top of putting on the event. So what I found is all the people that were attracted to wanting to do it were very much event planner types, mm-hmm. and they weren't marketing types. So
Oh, for the other cities.
Yeah,
got it.
Yeah. So that was why most of them failed, is because they were not as connected as they thought they were. Mm. So we couldn't get it off the ground very fast. And it was a lot of work. So, I mean, I love my new business. I invented this event called CoStorm, the one where I met you, where you came. I finally figured out how to do it really easy, and it took me only 20 years to figure that out. You have to try a lot of things.
Well, tell me, what's the difference now? What do you do now? So I know the CoStorm.
Yeah, I've taken my 20 years of wisdom of everything, all of my mistakes, and kind of put it all into one. I've been doing these masterminds. I do a lot of one-on-one work with people, and for many years, love to get women together and facilitate masterminds. And then when I veered off to Urban Campfire, it was a little bit, I kind of went a little bit too personal. I'm not a therapist, and I feel like I started group therapy. Seriously, like these, it was great that I was able to have women in a safe environment that they could talk about what was really going on, but I wasn't prepared from what I heard. There was people that were suicidal and all kinds of things, and I just didn't know what to do. I'm like, I have to swing back to talk about business. Mm-hmm. But now that I know everybody's story, I want to talk about business in a more personal way. So I combined all these things that I've learned. And the CoStorm is about bringing women together. I ask them, like, what do you lose and sleep on at night? And what are your talents and skills? And what are your projects that you're working on? And then I love to matchmake. So now we're bringing up dating again. And I match people up, and they come to the event, and I put them in little groups of three. And then I throw a mentor in, usually a woman in business that has been doing business for 10 or 20 years that has been there, done that, and they can help anybody in the room. And we brainstorm for each other. And it's just this super fun, easy for everybody event. And I'm not giving everybody a manicure and pedicure on top of it. That's a big thing I learned not to do. You know, it's really hard to actually find nail techs to work for you. So that was a tough business.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your honesty and, you know, like the things that you failed at that and how those springboarded you into the next step. Would you, like, what gives you the confidence to, I mean, launch 30? I mean, there's so many people that are probably listening right now that are thinking about this idea, this business idea they've had for 5 years or more, and they're still twiddling around creating a plan, and they haven't done anything.
Yeah.
You know, what are
those people are called? Perfectionists. Are you a perfectionist? I am not. Somehow I didn't get the perfectionist gene.
Okay.
So I just think of an idea and I try it tomorrow. I'm really into like prototyping it ASAP and getting it out of my system. I feel sorry for people that are thinking about something for 5 years and they research it to death and they perfect it to death before they even try to launch it. Because if it's not going to work, it's not going to work today or 10 years from now. So, like, just do it. Just try it. Get it out of your system. You can start a business for practically free now. You could, like, instead of having a website, you could have, like, a Facebook page. Like, there's so many ways you can get out and prototype your idea for nothing. That did not used to be the case. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody should just get off it and try it and do it and find out if it's going to work. Maybe it will work, and that will be so exciting. And maybe it won't work, but then you'll know, and then you can flip it, which is what I love to do, is like, just try it, see what's going to happen. And then if it doesn't work, just keep tweaking, and flip it, reinvent it, and something will work. And maybe just taking that first step and trying it leads you into maybe something else. Just like when I decided to do the lotions and potions and the home parties, I had no idea that that would turn into what I'm doing today and how it's evolved today. And I've changed that Crave business so many times. But that's what I love about that brand, is I can kind of get my startup junkie personality all taken care of under one brand. Because what I do is I bring women together and create a safe environment to have conversations around life and business. And there's so many ways I can spin that. I can have events. I can write books. I can do all kinds of different things under the one brand. Mm-hmm. So I stopped being the startup junkie. And, you know, I'm not going to be opening up like a restaurant next week or like something really off brand.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep going under my own brand.
You found your home.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Well, what I'm wondering is, so it's like, it's natural to you, but like, where do you get the courage to just, I'm going to go? Like, where does that come from? You know, is it from your family? Is it?
Well, I grew up on a farm and my parents are entrepreneurs, so that does help.
Okay.
Otherwise, I just don't know. I always say if somebody walked in my shoes for a day, they would commit suicide. It's terrible to say, but like, you know, I have friends that have two houses and a swimming pool and lots of cars and they go on vacation. They got the retirement account and the savings account. And when they have to dip into savings, they freak out as much as me. And I sometimes don't even know how I'm going to eat tomorrow. Mm. And I've just been able to, I've just lived my whole life that way because I love the thrill of the game. And I love the freedom, and I don't think I could work for the man. So that's what drives me to always come up with the new ideas. And I know that once I launch something, it's probably not going to be today, next week, or next year. It'll be way different from when I started today. But I know I can make that happen. So I've done it so many times that I can just keep doing that. I think you just have to try it a couple times to realize. I think most people that they're afraid of failure. And that's sad because if you're free, you don't want to be on your deathbed and say, oh, I wish I would have done that thing that I talked about my whole life.
Yeah, because then it could have turned into something 10 times over again.
Yeah, you never know what it can turn into. And so much serendipity can happen. And that's what's so fun about life.
Mm. You're just that you're an adventure seeker.
Yeah.
Look at your eyes totally lit up. You're like, yes.
I always have to have something planned that I'm excited about. And if I don't, it's got to be, I got to plan something. Like I'm planning on going back to Amsterdam. Finally, that's where I had the nervous breakdown 5 years ago. And I get to go there again at the end of this year. And I planned a co-storm. We're celebrating my husband's big birthday. And I am so pumped about that. Just making that one step to say, we're going to Amsterdam and doing that. And I'm going to make it happen. All of a sudden, in the last 2 weeks, everything I touch is gold. Like I'm on fire. People have been saying, you are on fire. And they see it in me. And I wasn't on fire like in June. In June, I was like, oh, I have no idea what I'm doing. I felt like I was like slogging through mud all summer. Like, what's my next move? But sometimes you have to sit with the unknown and you have to enjoy it like a game. But we hate that. We hate the unknown. Yeah. I've been in the unknown my whole life and will always be in the unknown, but I'm learning to turn it into like a game and this is fun. So I really just took the whole summer to really go slow. But I was building for the fall. And now I'm super busy and I've just put all the stuff into motion. I just think we just need to take the steps to put things in motion. And then things happen.
Yeah. Well, you're writing a new book right now. 12 lessons learned in life and business that you're calling ingredients.
Yeah, I'm calling them the 12 ingredients.
12 ingredients. Yeah. So why don't you give our listeners just maybe three of them before we part ways.
Okay.
And they're sitting there with doubts about launching something, ideas that they have.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for asking because I love these. So my very first one is KISS, Keep It Simple, Sista. Simplicity is sexy. I just launched a new website, you know, about the 15th website in 15 years of Crave. I seem to launch one every year. And I kept thinking, how can I take my own advice? Like, I write a whole page and then I have to cut it in half and cut it in half again. And then my other ingredient is launch it broken and fix it later. And I'm like, okay, I have got to just launch this site because it's broken, but it's never going to be fixed. And it's got to go live. So I'll just fix it live. And so, but yet it's not as simple as I want it to be yet. And so, you know, I sell strawberry shortcake at the fairs. And when you go to my booth, I have 4 things on the menu. It's just so simple. And people stand in line and hand me cash. It's my favorite business. And I look at some of the other booths and they have like 50 signs.
It's overwhelming.
And you're like, what are they selling here? Mm-hmm. And so, but it's the same thing as if you go to somebody's website And if you have to ask, what are they doing? And they have to like dig through. I'm a big advocate of simple, simple, simple. So that's that. Launch it broken, fix it later. Just get it out. Quit being a perfectionist. And what's the third one I want to say? Own your style. Be obsessively curious about yourself and just freaking own it. And do it. Get out there and just do it and be yourself.
Don't apologize for who you are, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. I've learned a lot from you, and I'm going to take your advice on developing girlfriends.
Good.
And if you're listening in, you should definitely try out a CoStorm. That is a super fun event that I met a lot of people that were really brilliant and fun, and you'll get to meet Melody. She's wonderful. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you. That was fun.
You're welcome.
I've worked with a lot of people who are bringing their ideas to life or trying to build an audience for those ideas. And one of the things that I've noticed is everybody has a unique frequency at which they create. I call it a manifestation style. And one of the things that's radically distinct about Melody is how she manifests. She's a lot more like an adventurer who suits up and plans, gets all of the things that she needs together, and then she goes. Not with all of the things answered, but with a curious mind, one that's learning from the path as she walks down it. This is a very interesting and influential way of showing up in the world because it creates the space for other people to interact with you and give you feedback. How do you manifest? What does it look like, feel like, and sound like when you create with the world around you? No one does it like you because you're radically distinct. Hey, this is Jen Morgan. I want to empower you to be radically distinct. And there are many ways for us to work together. Whether you're an individual working on your career path or your life status, or you're a team or an organization, get a hold of me, jenmorgan.com. That's Jen with two N's, morgan.com. Email me, j@jenmorgan.com, and follow the show on Instagram and Facebook @radicallydistinct.